Matthew 22:23-33. The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third, even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said to them, You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And finally, verse 33, And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. My guess is that Wednesday is going to be a particularly rough day for me, because Wednesday, if I remember correctly, is June 13th. And June 13th will be the one-year anniversary of the death of my dear wife, Pat. June 13th, 2017 is when she passed from this life to the next. And I have no doubt, none whatsoever, that her spirit is in heaven. And I miss her dearly. And I look forward to being able to see her again someday in heaven. Mary Todd Lincoln said after her husband Abraham Lincoln died, The only consolation left me is the certainty that each day brings me nearer my loved and lost. I shall not much longer be separated from my idolized husband, who has only gone before, and I am certain is fondly watching and waiting for our reunion, never more to be separated. I think most of you are aware that Pat was first married to a man by the name of Bob Brake, and he died in 1975. Now, when I die, my soul, or my spirit, will go to heaven. And the question is, will I find Pat, when I get there, together with her first husband, Bob Brake? And if so, how will that affect me? Will I be allowed to be with her too? She was married to him first, me second. And then will there be some competition between Bob and me for spending time with her? You see, she was married to Bob Brake for about 10 years, and she was married to me for 41 years. So, if there is competition for her attention in heaven, isn't it logical that I should be given preference because I spent a lot more time with her as her husband than he did? You see, friends, we don't handle situations like that very well. Jealousy can rear its ugly head. I'm going to be honest with you folks. One of the hardest things I had to deal with when she died was to see her body buried next to her first husband, Bob. I would have preferred, because I spent 41 years with her and him only 10, I would have preferred that she be buried where I will eventually be buried when I die. Several weeks ago, I had dreams about Pat three nights in a row. In each one of these three dreams, Pat was leaving me. Not because she was dying, but because she was going to another man in these dreams. And friends, I remember distinctly waking up heartbroken to think about her leaving me for another man. People who die with only one husband or one wife, they don't concern themselves with things like that. But it's not uncommon for people to have had more than one spouse. My great-great-grandfather, he had two wives. So did my grandfather. My great-great-grandfather, his first wife died when he was about 52 years old, leaving him with eight children to raise. And at age 53, he marries a 19-year-old woman who gives him seven more children before he died. So who is my great-great-grandpa spending time with in heaven? His first wife, who I am a descendant from, or his second wife, who Eric Rigg at the pharmacy is a descendant from? The tallest monument that you will find out here in the cemetery, the tallest, that is, as a marker for a grave, marks the burial place of a man by the name of Philander Gould. His name's over on the window, you'll notice. And Philander Gould had two wives. And those wives are buried on each side of him. We know that divorce is pretty common today. And because divorce has become so common, it has created many remarriages. Even in the days when divorces were uncommon, deaths of a spouse often resulted in remarriages. So here's question number one that I put before you this morning. Question one, how will it be in heaven for those who have had more than one spouse? How will it be in heaven for those who have had more than one spouse? Jesus was forced to speak to situations like that, and we find his words in today's Bible text that we're looking at here in Matthew. Now, let me first tell you how this all came about. Look at verse 23 in our text. The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him. Now, well, let's stop right there. First of all, these Sadducees were a sect of Jews that started in about 250 years before the birth of Christ. And the Sadducees were a sect of Jews started by the man of Zadok, who was a president of the Sanhedrin, the ruling Supreme Court, if you will, of the Jewish nation, the ruling body, in fact, of Judaism. And the most striking thing about the Sadducees is they did not believe in any resurrection whatsoever. They knew they couldn't prove that the resurrection was nonsense, so they decided to try to make the idea of the resurrection look so complicated and so ridiculous that people would have to finally come to a conclusion that it must not really be true that resurrection will happen. In fact, these Pharisees did not ask Jesus this question to really find out the truth of the matter. They were not interested in learning the truth. They just wanted to get Jesus in a situation where he would try to explain this, and it would make the hope of a resurrection look downright foolish to believe in. Now look at verse 24. Saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third, even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also." Verse 28, "Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her." Okay. The Sadducees have presented a very complicated situation for Jesus to try to explain or to handle. Try to imagine what this must have been like. Imagine one wife, one woman, bewildered as to which of her seven husbands she should choose to spend eternity with. She's had seven husbands. They've died. They've gone to heaven. She dies. She goes to heaven. Which one of the seven does she want to spend time with? And imagine that Finally, she picks out one of the seven. Maybe one was kinder to her than the other. Maybe one had some aspects of his physical appearance that she liked better than the others. And so she finally picks one out of the seven. Imagine what it must have been like if it did happen this way. The other six brothers walking away rejected by this woman, walking away to be alone in heaven. So how is Jesus going to handle this situation? What's the answer to a complicated problem like this? Well, look at verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." Now, okay, before I move on, let's handle that verse. The answer that Jesus gives here seems to shatter the hopes of married couples throughout the ages of being able to spend eternity together in the same kind of love and relationship that they experienced while they were alive here on earth. Jesus seems to say, forget about that. It's not going to happen. Look at verse 30. "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven." Again, this passage has disturbed many people who fear that Jesus is saying here, husbands and wives will not be united in eternity. That's what some people are inclined to think Jesus was saying here. Jesus is only concerned here, friends, in destroying the Sadducees' basis for ridicule. Jesus is not eliminating reunion and love in heaven. He is only speaking of those aspects of earthly marriage which would make it complicated and downright ridiculous, as the Sadducees have suggested in their illustration here. You see, the Sadducees have painted a picture of heaven that is filled with conflict that is worse than what we might see here on earth. The seven husbands had a woman one at a time. So there was no conflict, but now in the resurrection, they are all there at once. Think about that. Okay, this woman had seven husbands, but one comes along as number two, but the first one's already dead. The number two dies, so she marries the third husband, but number one and number two, they're dead, so there's no competition there. And all down through the seven husbands, each one comes along after all the previous husbands are dead and gone. They're not on the earth, so there's no complication, no competition for her attention and for her love here on earth. But now the Sadducees are saying they're in heaven with her, and all seven are there with this one woman. Who's going to get her? They are suggesting that in heaven they would be fighting over which husband will have this woman as his wife for all of eternity. And this is based on the assumption that in eternity we will still have sexual needs. And no man wants to be without a sexual partner for all of eternity. So heaven will be filled with millions of men fighting to possess a woman who were also married to other men here on earth. So I hope you can see the mess, the complete utter chaos and mess that heaven would be if what the Sadducees have questioned Jesus about is the way it is. Question number two. What will we be like in eternity? What will we be like in eternity? Look at verse 30. "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven." Now here, the answer that Jesus gives eliminates the problems that these Sadducees have suggested. Jesus says people will be like angels in heaven. Okay. What does that mean? What does that mean for us to be like angels when we get to heaven? Well, it means the whole issue of sex is taken away. It means the whole issue of sex is not a problem, not an issue in heaven. because angels are sexless beings. You get that point? Angels are sexless beings. I have a hard time accepting many of the paintings and pictures and statues that people have in their homes or various places supposed to be an image of an angel. Well, first of all, I don't believe angels have wings, but if you look most pictures of angels, they look kind of feminine. Angels are not like women. The Bible says nothing about a Mrs. Gabriel or any other angel having a spouse. There is no jealousy or lust or any other problems that sex can lead to in this life. Jesus is saying that sex is not necessary in heaven. There will be no death there. No need for reproduction to keep the new heavens and the new earth populated. Sex is what makes marriages an exclusive relationship here on earth. When we get married, we expect our partner to be sexually faithful to us. And when it doesn't happen, well, we know what kind of conflicts that can lead to. And it leads to a lot of emotions that will not be a part of eternity, will not be a part of what it's like in heaven. You see, the Sadducees here, they're trying to take sexuality into eternity. And if that was what eternity was to be, well, yeah, the Sadducees had a point. If eternity in heaven is going to be like the kind of fussing and fighting over a woman that we often see here on earth, if that's the way it will be in heaven, then we can understand how this has got to be a big mess. But Jesus makes it clear that the conflicts of sexuality will not exist in our resurrected bodies and in our spiritual bodies that I talked about last Sunday morning. The millions of people who have had two or more mates in this life need not worry about making choices in heaven. Jesus says there will be none of that in heaven. Marriage, in the sense of an exclusive relationship, will be no more. We will love millions of people without any jealousy or any other problems that we find in our relationships on this life. The sexual and exclusiveness that we expect of our spouses here in this life will not be an issue in eternity. We will be like brothers and sisters to each other. There will be no jealousy or envy in the family of God. All will dwell in perfect harmony in the Father's house. Question number three. Will we be with our spouses in heaven? Now, that's probably the question you're the most interested in. Will we be with our spouses in heaven? Look at verse 30. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. Does the answer that Jesus gives here in verse 30 eliminate all that hope that you will be able to be with the person you married in eternity? And my response is, not at all. That's not what he's saying. It only eliminates the problems, but it does not eliminate the hope of having a special relationship with your spouse in the eternal kingdom. Well, okay. Does that mean love will be less in heaven than what we know in our earthly marriages? Will we love our spouse less in heaven than the love we had for him or her in the earthly experience? Well, look again at verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." Friends, Jesus here is not letting these Sadducees rob heaven of love. He is telling them they are just downright ignorant of the power of God. You see, these Sadducees had too small a view of God's potential to see that he will make love even greater in eternity than it has ever been for us here on earth. In other words, Jesus is saying God will make it possible for us in our spiritual bodies or later on in our glorified bodies to experience a love for one another that we've not even begun to touch that depth in this life. The Sadducees tried to limit God to what their concept of love was. But we know this, God is not limited, amen? He has a higher level of love for those in eternity. It will be a promotion to a love level enjoyed now by the angels. We will be moving on up to a level of love where all the problems that these Sadducees could ever conceive and come up with, all those problems will be gone forever. That does not mean, friends, that there will be no unique love relationships in heaven. Friends, Jesus is not by any stretch of the imagination saying here that Adam has no special relationship with Eve. In other words, Eve is not walking through the eternity in heaven, sees somebody, and says to the person walking with her, "He looks familiar, but I don't know him from Adam." No, that's not what it's like in heaven. Couples in heaven will not lose their identity. If they did, they would be just a bunch of total strangers in heaven. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says this, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." We do not lose the identity that we have here on earth when we get to heaven. We don't lose that. We will remember those people who we loved and married, with one exception. One exception. You married a guy and he never got saved. When you get to heaven, if you loved that guy, really loved him, and he dies and he's going to go and end up in hell, when you get to heaven, you'll not remember him at all. I firmly believe this, friends. God erases from our minds the memory of every person who doesn't make it to heaven. If that were not so, how in the world could we have no tears, no sorrow, no disappointments in heaven if we knew that someone that we cared an awful lot about while we were here on earth ended up in hell? I firmly believe, friends, if you marry someone who never gets saved, you'll never see them in heaven. You'll not even remember them. Those who do get saved, you'll see them, you'll remember them. Couples in heaven will not lose their identity, friends. Again, if they did, they'd just be a bunch of total strangers up there. Eternity eliminates conflict over sexuality and exclusiveness, but not the relationship of married couples in heaven. The Bible says there is recognition and there is reunion in heaven. So what can we conclude? Now we have some points for you. Point number one. Marriage as we know it will be no more, but the relationship of married people will not be eliminated. Marriage as we know it will be no more, but the relationship of married people will not be eliminated. That's point number one. In other words, what I'm saying here is friends and family will have a special relationship in heaven. Married people will also have a special relationship. In other words, people that you really consider maybe some of your best friends, if they make it to heaven and you make it to heaven, you're going to see them again. For those who want to go on forever in a special love relationship, there is no reason whatsoever why this should not be possible for them. I say to you that Rachel and Leah are not fighting in heaven over which one gets to sleep with Jacob tonight. That's just not an issue in heaven. Because, you see, in heaven, Rachel and Leah, these two sisters who end up marrying Jacob, they're both dead and gone now. They've been gone for a lot of time. They have a very special relationship with Jacob. And let me go a little further with that. Jacob and these two women, they'll have a special relationship in heaven that will be stronger than his relationship with any of us, because he was married to those two ladies. But will they fight, fuss and fight over who gets to spend time? No, because that's not part of eternity. It can never be that these three people, Jacob, Rachel, and Leah, were never married in the first place. Yes, they were. They spent time together. They raised children together. And they will be together in heaven. But there won't be any competition for who gets to spend time with the man. Will marriage be forever? That's an obvious question. Well, the answer to that is both yes and no. Yes and no. It is no to the Sadducees' limited concept of what it must be like in heaven for marriage, but yes to the concept of marriage as a quality love relationship that the redeemed want to possess forever. Point number two, and this is the last one, so don't get too concerned here. Marriage relationship is more secure in heaven than it could ever have been here on earth. A marriage relationship is more secure in heaven than it could ever have been here on earth. There are many things that can change the best of marriages. But in eternity, friends, they will be what they are forever. There is no decline of anything good or loving in heaven. Adultery, that's not going to be in heaven. That's not going to break up a relationship in heaven. Overspending, spending family budget, gambling, all the other things that happen that can destroy marriages, that's a part of sin that will be no part of eternity. So the things that can destroy a love relationship in this life, on this earth, will be gone, not part of eternity. And that means that marriage will be forever for those who have a love that they want to enjoy forever. Now, I do have a qualification on that. Not all married couples have a very loving relationship. But for those who do, heaven will be the fulfillment of their hopes for all of eternity. Actually, everyone will be married in heaven in one sense, for all will be married to the bridegroom, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me wrap this all up. Christians all throughout history have never doubted that true loving relationships will be eternal. In Matthew chapter 22, our scripture text here this morning, 23 through 33, Jesus says nothing about recognizing one another in heaven, nothing about continuing love relationships that he sanctioned here on earth. Marriage is an earthly concept, but love is heavenly and eternal. And that's what lovers want, isn't it? The idea that we will be like angels ought not to cause us to think that the concept of love will be reduced in any way. Angels have a pleasure in love that is far superior to what we know in sex in this life. There will be no jealousy, no conflict in angelic love. I know it's hard to grasp what relationship of mates will be in heaven, because just like the Sadducees, our thinking is kind of like that. We are limited in our concept. We are limited in our understanding. But friends, I'm here to assure you, it will be something special in heaven. We will not lose our dear ones who have departed this life before us. We have merely sent them ahead of us. We also shall depart someday and shall come to that life where we shall love them again without fear of ever parting again. So, will I be allowed to be with my dear wife, Pat, when I get there? Yes. Yes. When I get there, will I find her with her first husband, Bob? Yes. He'll be there with her. Will Bob and I be jealous and argue who gets to be with her? No. Pat will spend time with both of us, and we will all be happy. Why? Because all the feelings of jealousy and anger and possessiveness that we have now in our carnal, fleshly bodies as men and women will not be a part of our attitudes in eternity. Instead, we will experience a deeper kind of love for one another that will eliminate any possibility of conflict in heaven. Eternity is a place of peace and contentment for all who get there. However, there is a possibility, and again, I can't close without saying this, there is a possibility, if you've lost a spouse to death, there is a possibility you will not see him or her again. When you get to heaven, again, as I said earlier, if he or she never got saved, God will erase from your mind the memory of that person. If that wasn't true, how could you ever be happy in heaven knowing that the person you loved for perhaps many years, slept next to in a bed, raised children together? How could heaven be a great place of no sorrow, no tears, no pain if you knew that that man or that woman is in hell suffering eternal punishment? You won't miss seeing and being with that person because you won't remember him or her. If you knew that your spouse ended up in hell, you certainly would have tears and sorrow. So I close with this. If you want to see and be with your spouse in eternity, do everything you possibly can to make sure that not only you, but your spouse is saved before he or she dies.